The ACEC Research Institute recently released the groundbreaking 2020 Engineering Industry Profile. Now, this study provides the most comprehensive view we have ever seen for the entire engineering, architectural, and related services sectors. We're talking 3% of all U.S. jobs, $386 billion in revenue, nearly $45 billion in tax dollars, an $88,000 a year average salary, and so much more. The study also benchmarks state-level activities. Now take the opportunity to download your free copy today. Get the 2020 Engineering Industry Profile by visiting acecresearchinstitute.org. Download your copy today. Welcome to the ACEC Government Affairs Update for the end, really the end of the second week, which feels like the fourth week of January with everything going on in Washington. But we want to focus today on kind of the political whack-a-mole that happens at the beginning of every Congress and the structure of the Congress, because it's never a foregone conclusion that the committee structure that you enter into when the Congress switches over is going to remain the same. And there's a math that goes into exactly how the committees are going to be figured out. And it's a question of ratio by the, how many members you have, you know, what are the party breakdowns, you know, what agreements are made by leadership on how the committees are going to be hashed out. And we're starting to get some clarity. And we brought in again our advocacy A team. We've got Matt Reifer, we've got Catherine Motley, we've got Steve Hall, to talk about really the names that we have to pay attention to coming into the 117th Congress and what the committees might look like. And we got word today that at least in the House, the Ways and Means Committee, which is considered an A committee because they deal with tax policy, it's one of the most important committees in Congress. They have kind of worked out what their ratio is going to be, and they have named some members coming in, and especially the steering of recommendations for Representatives Miller, Hearn, and Smucker to join the Ways and Means Committee. So we have Kevin Hearn, a Republican of Oklahoma, Lloyd Smucker, Republican Pennsylvania, Carol Miller, Republican of West Virginia, will be joining the Ways and Means Committee. And we'll be seeing announcements like this coming out for the others. But let's start off just with what ratio is. Matt, for those of us not completely steeped in procedure, how does this work?
That's a good question, Jeff. And it is a little bit like musical chairs. So generally what happens is the leadership of both parties will look at the overall ratio of the House, how many Democrats and how many Republicans, and then take that ratio or that percentage and then apply it to the committee membership. And most committees have a set number of members and then they break it up. Although some committees tend to have or weighted more heavily than others, and because of their importance, they tend to have, you know, a slightly bigger number of folks from the majority on their side, just to, you know, ensure control over that agenda. And yeah, so the A committees go first, that's Ways and Means and Appropriations and Energy and Commerce, because of the scope of their jurisdiction and the, you know, the significance of the issues that they control. And then the other committees, once those memberships are set, then the other committees are fleshed out after that. Obviously, for ACEC, you know, we consider the Transportation Infrastructure Committee to be an A committee, and we know there's a lot of interest from Republicans and Democrats in the House to get on that committee. So even though folks are angling to get on Ways and Means or Energy and Commerce, we know there's a great deal of interest in getting on T&I as well, because of the infrastructure agenda is going to be so prominent in this coming year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the infrastructure committees in the House, I mean, the ones that we really pay attention to, I mean, of course, Ways and Means affects everyone. So it's the, you know, they are the tax writers. So that's something that we care about. We also care about energy and commerce because, well, you know, again, the Commerce Clause of the Constitution is a catch-all. And then TNI, of course, is the major infrastructure committee. And that was always the joke, even when I was on staff, is that, well, we're an A committee. We might not be there on paper, but Lord knows we're an A committee because everybody wants to get on it. We know who the ranking member and the chairman are coming in to the 117th. Kind of, if you could go over, you know, who the main names to care about in those committees, and you know, just to refresh everybody's minds on that, Matt.
Sure. Yeah. So the top level leadership at TNI will carry over. The chairman will be Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon, and the top Republican will be Sam Graves from Missouri. They were in those same positions last year. There may be some shuffling at the subcommittee level because of departures. At least we know one subcommittee is open, so there'll be some movement there. But at the top of the committee, there'll be some stability from the previous Congress with Mr. DeFazio and Mr. Graves.
And Catherine, on the tax world in the House, who are the main players that we need to pay attention to?
So Congressman Richard Neal from Massachusetts will continue to chair the committee. He is a big infrastructure advocate. So that is a good place, you know, someone, good person to have in that place. And then Congressman Kevin Brady from Texas will continue to be the ranking member or senior Republican on the committee. And he is a terrific advocate for good tax policy. So that's also a benefit to our firms. Jeff, if I could, I just thought I'd point out one small thing that people may not have sort of focused on, and that is, if you think about it, yesterday in the House, there was a historic and quite contentious vote on impeachment. And yet, there's still the members of Congress are still able at the same time to continue doing the work that they have to do to make the institution function. And that's what we saw this week also with the steering committee starting to make those announcements.
Yeah.
And I think that's always, it's kind of an important point to, because what the public sees are those public votes and the debate on the floor. They may not always see this work that goes on behind the scenes.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, that's a good point to raise because, you know, things continue, especially from, you know, the structural side of Congress. There are things that have to happen. There are things that happen outside of the public eye that keep the institution rolling. And that's usually the kind of stuff that doesn't get a lot of press unless it's a high profile departure or a contentious pick. But yeah, that all has to happen and it continues to happen. On TNI though, I got kind of going back to TNI. I mean, it's interesting to see exactly how those subcommittees are going to, the open subcommittee is going to flesh out. Steve, I know you wanted to bring up a point about TNI as well.
Yeah, no, Jeff, Matt had made a point about, I mean, obviously ACEC is very biased towards certain committees that cover the markets that our members operate in, and certainly the infrastructure committees in both the House and the Senate. What was encouraging and noteworthy, we had an opportunity prior to the holidays to spend some time with some of the newly elected freshmen. Who were in town for organizational meetings. And what was interesting, we had them over to the ACEC townhouse in, I should emphasize, very, very small groups where we were outside and staying safe. But they were in town and it was an opportunity to spend some time with them in a very relaxed setting. And without fail, every one of them had the TNI committee on their priority list in terms of committee requests. And I think what was cognizant to them, and certainly something that we talked about, was the extent to which the committee, the infrastructure committees are really going to be the center of the universe, I think, this year, in terms of much of the substance legislation that moves through Congress and actually gets signed into law, probably will be the most productive committees, we hope, this year. So even the new lawmakers are cognizant of that. They want very much to be a part of that. And it has in some ways, I think, almost elevated TNI to an almost A committee status.
Yeah, that's the thing about that committee. I mean, it's generally known, and both almost every chairman and the ranking members will always bring it up at least one point, and even the most contentious markup is the fact that historically it has been a very bipartisan committee, that both sides of the aisle work together and there's general agreement in the general direction of policy. They might get very, very technical on disagreements. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's one of those committees that is always sought after. And to kind of even step back, it's, you know, before we even get to the ratio question, it's also interesting for those in the audience who might not realize, is that when you get elected to the Congress, you kind of have to make a short list of exactly what committees you want to be on. And you have to pitch yourself essentially and say, this is why I should be on these committees. And it's really up to the leadership of those committees, you know, either the chairman or the ranking member, in coordination with the political arms of each conference or caucus, to kind of decide who goes where. So you're right. Often, a lot of freshmen have TNI on their list, and it's always a question of whether or not they're going to, you know, they're going to get it.
Jeff, I worked for a member of Congress who was on the TNI committee. He was a research physicist by training and an educator. He was a college professor prior to getting into politics. And he would always tell constituents and other groups, I'm on the science committee because I'm a scientist. I'm on the education committee because I'm an educator. And I'm on the transportation committee because I need to get reelected.
Yeah. Is that, there you go.
That connection to the district, to projects, to infrastructure, you know, those deliverables from a representative standpoint. And that was in the days of earmarks, and who knows, maybe they'll bring those back. But yeah, it's that sort of tangible connection to the district that is appealing to a lot of members.
Absolutely. And also, you know, let's also give a little bit of a shout out to a friend of ACEC, someone who we know and we've had on the podcast. It's not a committee that we pay significant amount of attention to because we don't have as much crossover there, but Bruce Westerman has been named a ranking member on the Resources Committee. And of course, he is an engineer, and he is also the only member of Congress with a degree in forestry. So there's a bit of a natural fit there. But it's always good, I'd imagine, Steve, to have someone who knows us, knows the industry, and understands it intimately as being an engineer, just as a ranking member of anything.
Oh, absolutely. Bruce really is a rising star. It's remarkable how quickly he has gone from a relatively new member of Congress to a leadership position on TNI, and now, you know, senior Republican on the Resources Committee. He was a leader in the state legislature when he was there. And so I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise that he's risen as fast as he has here. And the fact that he's an engineer and just brings that perspective. And having seen him in action with agency witnesses where he's applying engineering logic to try to get them to explain why certain infrastructure failures occurred, is enjoyable to watch. Maybe not necessarily for the witness who has to answer questions, but it's great to see that kind of focused knowledge being applied where we operate, and because hopefully it gets his colleagues thinking the right way. But he really has become the go-to for matters involving engineering.
So that's the House. Let's walk across the aisle or the hall and the rotunda and go over to the Senate, where it's its own little animal with its own rules, and it's completely different than the way the House operates in more ways than one. So the Senate is still kind of where it was in December, right? Until the inaugural, Mitch McConnell is the majority leader, and then that will change. And Chuck Schumer will be the majority leader. Mitch McConnell presumably will retain his position as minority leader. The Senate committees, of which we really are focused on EPW, Environment and Public Works, the Senate Banking Committee, the Commerce, Senate Commerce as well. How does that work? What are we looking at there right now? What do we expect to happen? Because it's not as set in stone as the House.
Yeah, so on the Senate side, with Environment and Public Works, there is some changeover there at the leadership level. The top Republican from the previous Congress, Senator Barrasso from Wyoming, is moving over to be the top Republican on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee in the Senate. Given the profile of those issues in his home state, it makes a lot of sense. So the next most senior, and now the senior Republican on EPW, will be Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia. We've got a great relationship with her. She was the chair of the Highways Subcommittee, Surface Transportation Subcommittee, in the previous Congress, and was deeply involved in the drafting of their highway bill last year. And the chairman of the committee will be Tom Carper, Democrat from Delaware. He was the ranking member last year, and now he will be chairing the committee again. Longstanding relationship with Senator Carper and his team. And the two of them have a great relationship with each other. They're cooperative. They've got similar backgrounds. In fact, Senator Carper has personal connections to West Virginia that he's been playing up in his conversations with her. So we're optimistic about the prospects for bipartisan cooperation there, but it'll take a little bit of time for them, their teams, to get settled in these new roles that they've got.
Yeah, this brings in that interesting also relationship with the incoming, President-elect Biden. I mean, Senator Carper and Senator Biden have a very strong relationship going back a long time. And it's going to be interesting to see how that benefits infrastructure, because you have the president coming out with hopefully, a recovery and stimulus plan, which will have an infrastructure component. And then, dealing with the Senate, you have longstanding relationships with the president and the chairman. I know it's all speculative, but, where do you see opportunities there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think there's going to be a lot of collaboration between Chairman Carper and the incoming administration. I think they're going to be collaborating and cooperating closely on policy initiatives there. It's fair to say that Senator Carper will have a very strong interest in the climate agenda and responding to and adapting and addressing, impacts of climate change and the environmental components there, again, in partnership with the Biden team. But then just broadly, across the board, a vigorous proponent of increased investment. Which would be, all of that will be good news for our firms.
Absolutely.
Jeff, if I can just add to that, you can't overstate the importance of those relationships that Matt talked about. The fact that Carper does have a good working relationship with Senator Capito, and the relationship with the White House. I mean, you need all of these pieces working well together. It's going to be a challenge this year with a very narrowly divided Senate, narrowly divided House, that relationships will start to matter in whether we see some success. I mean, there'll be some areas that they're going to fight over and never agree to. Infrastructure has always been able to get over that hurdle and get to the finish line. But having lawmakers that are willing to work together is going to be critical to our success. I should just add another plug for West Virginia. I mean, with Shelley Moore Capito as the senior Republican on EPW, her Democratic colleague from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, takes over as chair of the Senate Energy Committee. Mm-hmm. So West Virginia takes on a very important role, certainly for ACEC, but in the United States Senate on two very important committees.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Manchin's going to become the most important person in Washington pretty soon, because now we can kind of go into this, Catherine. Yeah, I think you have a very good historical perspective on how the Senate kind of works and just in that environment that we find ourselves with a 50-50 split, and kind of how that usually sets itself in committee structure, because now you don't have that clear majority, clear minority. And then you also have the fact that on the Senate floor, if you have a 50-50 split, Senator Manchin becomes all more important because he could be that deciding vote on a simple majority basis. But kind of on the banking side of the world and also kind of how this structure works, Catherine, can you kind of give us some background on that?
Sure, absolutely. So you'll remember that in 2000, when President George W. Bush was elected, the Senate was originally a 50-50 Senate. So it's the scenario that we have now. And what they did was they worked out a power sharing agreement. And on particularly on some of the key committees, essentially the majority, in that case, it was the Republicans, got a one vote majority on the committees. So for example, the Senate Finance Committee, which handles all the tax policy in the Senate, they had, I believe it was 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats. So there was still a working majority, but not a big majority. And it'll be interesting to see how they work that out this time. You were talking about leaders of other committees. We have new leadership coming in at the Senate, new and almost like recycled leadership at the Senate Finance Committee. On the Republican side, current Chairman Grassley is term limited out at finance. So he is moving over to be the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee. So that means that Senator Mike Crapo from Idaho is moving over from the Banking Committee to be the senior Republican or ranking member on the Senate Finance Committee. So that opens up the spot over at the Banking Committee. And Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania is taking that spot over at the Banking Committee. And then just back to finance to finish that out, the sort of nicely recycled part is that Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon, who has chaired the Finance Committee before, is going to be chairing it again. So that'll be a new working relationship, both at the Finance Committee and at the Banking Committee. One of the interesting dynamics, I think, if you look at the Banking Committee, let's just say that the politics of Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio, who will be the chairman, and Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania are not really meeting in the middle. You know, they have very different politics, but they have already started, you know, talking to each other, trying to work things out. I wonder, too, if the dynamic is helped by the fact that Senator Toomey has already announced that he is not running for re-election. So he may have, I'm not suggesting he abandons his principles, but he may have some more flexibility in there. And then I think over at finance, you know, like I said, you know, Senator Wyden has a lot of experience in this role. And for Senator Crapo, even though he's going to be, you know, newly in this role at finance, he's sort of generally recognized as a easy person to work with. So I think that they'll have a good working relationship too. And they've certainly served on the committee together for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I'll interject, one reason that we care about the banking committee is there's jurisdictional quirk, that's banking, housing, and urban affairs, that they have jurisdiction over federal transit programs. So that, unlike on the House side, the jurisdiction over surface transportation is split across four committees. EPW has highways. The banking committee has transit. And it'll be interesting to watch with Senator Toomey, because obviously there's a much bigger transit footprint and presence in the state of Pennsylvania than there is in the state of Idaho. Senator Crapo did not tend to take a, you know, active interest in transit matters during his time in the leadership of that committee. And in fact, that committee never produced a transit title for reauthorization in the last Congress. So we're hoping that they're a little more active and productive this year on the infrastructure side, looking at federal transit programs, working with Chairman Brown in that capacity.
So that's kind of the lay of the land. That's what we're looking at for the 117th Congress. It's going to be interesting to see how it all finally shakes out. We'll be seeing a flurry of press releases from all the members after the shuffling kind of ends. But it's going to be interesting to see how the relationships help get policies that we care about across the finish line. So thank you again, Steve, Catherine, and Matt. You are our A-team on advocacy, and we do appreciate you taking the time out of your day again. And thank you for listening on our second Government Affairs Update for 2021. We look forward to seeing you again next week And until then, stay safe and have a great week, everyone. The ACEC Research Institute recently released the groundbreaking 2020 Engineering Industry Profile. Now, this study provides the most comprehensive view we have ever seen for the entire engineering, architectural, and related services sectors. We're talking 3% of all U.S. jobs, $386 billion in revenue, nearly $45 billion in tax dollars, an $88,000 a year average salary, and so much more. The study also benchmarks state-level activity. Now take the opportunity to download your free copy today. Get the 2020 Engineering Industry Profile by visiting acecresearchinstitute.org. Download your copy today.